Let's turn in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be reading this evening verses 23 through 34. First Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 34. And God's people, let's pray to our God. Father, we give you praise. We are thankful for the prospect of celebrating the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. We're looking forward to being blessed by you in that sacrament, and Lord willing, also in that sacrament of baptism in the morning. But here we think of the Lord's Supper in that sacrament. Ask for your help this week as we prepare our hearts to partake, to not only hear the gospel, but see the gospel symbolized and felt, taste, even smell, and pray that you would minister to our senses the gospel of your Son Jesus Christ. And now help us to learn how to prepare, and that we would in this week ahead prepare well, lest we come unworthily and have judgment brought upon us. So help us, Father. We are dependent completely upon you. And by your Spirit in Christ, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And these are God's words. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." And those are God's words. Again, next Lord's Day, during evening worship, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And so, continuing that series, I guess, of looking at how we ought to prepare, especially this week in our approaching His holy table, that we might be blessed, that we might not be judged. And since it has been a half a year since the last time we considered our preparation for a little refresher, we try to think back on what we have covered previously. Preparation, as we've heard, is a Christian duty that the Lord in Christ requires of us. And remember that comparison we made. If we make preparation, when people come to our homes, we have them over for dinner, and so we clean our houses, we make and prepare the food, then how much more should we prepare for coming to the Lord's table and eating and drinking with one another in Christ with Him? We should do so all the more. And even as He has designed it so that we would be blessed by His grace and grow in faith and not be judged, but rather sanctified by His grace. This heavenly feast we are privileged to partake in is that which foreshadows and is preparing us, the children of God, for glory. And that marriage supper of the Lamb, that feast forever that we will have with Him. And so we ought to take this seriously, especially as we just read, we can see there's warnings here. There's warnings about partaking of the Lord's Supper, and numerous times we read, judgment is spoken of, or is implied. Do you want to be blessed? Or do you want to be judged? And as we consider here, as we think upon that question, do you want to be blessed, do you want to be judged? Everybody here would say, I want to be blessed. Well, if we want to be blessed, then we must prepare. You must prepare. And just as in the passage we've learned so many times that there is a need and a command to examine ourselves. Right there on the in your bulletins, it's always there, the Lord's Day before. It might even be the Lord's Day, next Lord's Day, but I forget. But this Lord's Day, the Lord's Day before, there's always that question of the larger catechism of how we prepare in coming to the Lord's Supper to help us. And so this is what we believe. And this is how what we believe and how we ought to prepare for the Lord's Supper. And as summarizing the teaching of God's Word. We've examined before 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. And the implication that if there is a warning of partaking in an unworthy manner, then that must mean that it is possible for us to partake in an unworthy manner. And so then how daring we would be, how prideful we would be, then if we didn't seek out partaking in a worthy manner, because we would be in danger of eating and drinking judgment upon ourselves if we don't. That we might become weak or sick or even, as it says here, sleep or die, beloved. We've learned that those who do come, verse 29, in an unworthy manner, do not discern the Lord's body. We see in verse 28 what we must do, therefore, to discern the Lord's body. And that being, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so self-examination is required. But what is the purpose of preparing and examining ourselves? God has given this sacrament to bless the child of God, for us, the children of God, and grow you in His grace. And yet if we say we must prepare, as God says we must prepare, then some people, as we've talked about before, some people take that and think, well, then that needed examination of myself is a means of keeping me from the sacrament. Because I know what I'm going to find when I examine myself, and that is a great deal of sin. Even as a Christian, a great deal of sin. And I'll find myself unworthy to come to His table. But that could not be further from the truth. Not that you won't find sin, you should find sin, but that you examining yourself is a means of keeping you from the sacrament. You look at verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so, that is, so in that way, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine yourself so that you can eat and drink. So this preparation, this examination is for the purpose, in order for you to eat and drink. The outcome of your self-examination, beloved, ought to be your repentance from your sin, as you see it, and growth in Christ, in faith, in love for Him, and then receiving the blessing of God as you contemplate once again how gracious and merciful God is in Christ as He died on the cross for you, despite your sin. It's only when we don't prepare, when we don't examine ourselves, that we are told that we are partaking unworthily. And that's verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So how serious, as we've considered then, if you do come and partake unworthily, that is, you did not prepare, you did not examine yourself and consider Christ and the gospel, and you say to yourself, I have come before, you say this now, I have come before and partaken unworthily. And of course we would all say, yes you have, I have, everybody has. We've come and partaken unworthily. And so then, beloved, if there are so serious of judgments to partaking unworthily, then we must strive this week and every time we have the Lord's Supper to partake in a worthy manner, to not presume upon God's mercy to us and continue in sin that grace may abound, because our God calls us to examine ourselves. And if we do not this week, if we do not, then we are disobeying the Lord. And we're disobeying verse 28. And yet what we are doing in our preparation, as we've said before, what we're doing in our preparation is not making ourselves worthy to be able to come to the Lord's table. We're not making ourselves worthy. The whole point of the gospel, the whole point then of the Lord's Supper, is that we are not worthy. And we cannot be worthy, and nothing in us is worthy. We earn nothing here even of our own merits. When we examine ourselves, we don't earn anything before God. When we find that we've sinned and we repent of our sin, we're not earning anything before God. This is not based on your merits at all. The merit alone belongs to Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's Supper is for unworthy people who cling, who grab hold of and grasp hold and don't let go of Christ. We are worthy only through His sacrifice, His life, and through His sacrifice. And so if you're in Christ, then you are worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. And yet you ought to not come too easily to the supper and just treat it as, oh, we're getting together, we're going to eat some food, and we're going to drink some wine. It's not that simple. You are to examine yourself, and you're examining yourself how? And that's what we've covered a lot of. Examine yourself first and foremost of whether you're in Christ. Are you in Christ? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified. That is, unless indeed Christ is not in you. Have you believed the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner deserving of God's just and eternal punishments, having sinned against Him, and yet Christ, who is God, become man, so God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever, that He obeyed all the law. He was born without sin, conceived outside of sin, and that He lived a perfect righteous life, and then He died a perfect wrath-bearing, atoning death for you. Not because He deserved it, but that you deserved it. And He died in your place as a vicarious, or for another, a vicarious sacrifice. And then He was buried. And He rose from the dead on the third day to give us life and secure our justification. And now He's seated on the throne as our mediatorial King. Do you believe that gospel? That you believe and trust that Jesus' perfect life is for you? He lived for you? That He died for you? That He rose for you? He's seated on the throne now for you? He's even interceding, as we heard in the call to worship, He's interceding for you? And He's not just the Savior and Lord, but He's your Savior. He's your Lord. Is that true of you? Now that's the first part that we've looked at before of what we need to examine. And then we saw it as well that we must prepare by examining our sins and our wants. Examine your sins whereby you disobey God, where you disobey His commandments, your wants, where you're not keeping His commandments, where you're lacking. That old word that of want that means lacking. When we examine our sins and our wants, and you find that you're pretty good, as we've said before, you're doing it wrong. You should not find that you're doing really well. We all have remaining sin. And in the last few moments, you've sinned. I've sinned against our God. And that's how sinful we are. We've even distracted. And we're thinking of outside worldly things, fleshly things. In 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if that's you, then you ought not to come and partake. If you say you have no sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And that's why self-examination is so important. So as to root out those sins so that we can see those sins and see who we are for who we are and then be pointed to Jesus Christ all the more. And so if we neglect self-examination, sin will progress. Those sins that we're not looking for. We're not examining ourselves, so we're not seeing them. We're not finding them. And so those sins will continue and they'll grow and they'll grow into great big weeds. And eventually those weeds grow into trees that are a nuisance, those nuisance kind of trees. Right? That's what sin does. So we need to examine ourselves to find those so we can start chopping them down through mortification, putting to death sin, as we learned in Romans 8, verse 13. But the Lord's Supper has been given to us to spur us on in our faith and to do this, to examine ourselves, to see our sin, and to look to Christ for our life. And you've been encouraged, as we've before, to, you know, maybe even this week, go over the larger, just read through it, family worship, whatever, read through the larger catechism of the Ten Commandments. And contemplate how you've sinned in each commandment, since they're so exhaustive. That will help you examine your sins and your wants. Moreover, we must be examining the truth and measure of our knowledge of God. Remember Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Your knowledge, your truth and measure of the knowledge of God. Do you know about God? About His Word, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about the things of God, about His commands, and what He says about you in His Word. Do you know as much as you ought to know by now as you've been either raised in the church or you've come to faith and now you're reading and you're hearing God's Word? Do you know as much as you ought to know by now? Or are you ignorant of many revealed things of God found in the Scriptures? When examining yourself of your knowledge, do you say to yourself, I should know more about the Lord than I do? And you probably find, we would probably all find that, yeah, we need to know a lot more about the Lord than we do. What did you engage in to know in the past week? And when you're examining yourself this week, what have I engaged in so far this week to know? The news? The things of your work? Entertainments? Things about the virus? What's happening in the government and politics and the election that's coming up? Is that what you're searching and seeking for to know? And so we are, yes, we are very knowledgeable people. But are we more knowledgeable about the world and the things of the world than our Lord and the things of the Lord? Examine yourself also of your communion with God and prayer and meditation. Turn off your devices and things. Maybe that'll help you this week. And open the Scriptures. You're driving around. Open a sermon. Most of us have smartphones. Open your... Download it if you don't have it. Open the sermon audio app and listen to sermons as you're driving around. Listen to somebody read Scripture. So you can contemplate and use your time wisely to learn to know instead of having the radio on and listening to music. And then the last time we thought about examining the truth and measure of our faith. Do you have faith? What is the measure of your faith? What kind of faith do you have? Is your faith sufficient? Is my faith proportional to my being a Christian for a long time or a short time? Or is it proportional to you being a Christian for how long you've been a Christian? Do you want more faith? Or do you not care? Again, 2 Corinthians 13:5. I think I said 1 Corinthians last time, but it's 2 Corinthians, the one that earlier in the sermon. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? Examine your faith. Examine your faith in the Word. Examine your faith in the Word preached. In your faith in Christ, your faith in the Gospel, your faith in the truth, whether your faith is true, whether your faith is genuine. Are you growing in holiness? Do you see fruit in your life? You know, J.C. Ryle said, where there is no holiness, we may be sure there is no saving faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And does your faith look weak, like the disciples we read about? Or is it that faith that Jesus called us to, even that will move mountains? What does your faith look like? And is it growing over time? Are you being sanctified in your faith? And so we must examine the truth and measure of our faith. And then today, now adding, honestly, every time we have we go over the preparation, we kind of add something a little bit more to help us, because it is a lot to that we're called to do by the Lord. Well, here we're also called to measure the truth, to examine the truth and measure of repentance, our repentance. Is your repentance real? Or is it made up? We say, well, you know, I pray to the Lord and I confess my sin to Him. I feel sorry for my sin that I've committed. I feel guilt about it. But beloved, that's not repentance. Repentance is feeling guilty of your sin, sure. Sorrowful, angry over your sin, you've committed it. But then repentance is turning from your sin and turning to Christ. Stopping the sin and turning to Christ. Your only hope, your only righteousness, Christ. And you hate that sin, so you want to flee from it. So you flee from it and you go to Christ. Are you doing that at all? Are you just confessing your sin? Maybe you don't even confess your sin before God. You just say, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then you end up in the sin again. So are you doing that at all? Are you doing that turning to Christ at all from your sin? Are you stopping the sin and looking immediately to Christ? When you see the sin, do you look immediately to Christ? Or is it postpone for a time. You commit the sin. And then later on, you turn to Christ. And so are you repenting at all? And then what's the measure of your sin? Are you immediately turning? Are you turning after a time? Are you not even turning at all to Christ? You turn to Christ and you go back to the Word and you start praying unto the Lord in Christ, trusting the Gospel, putting your hope in the righteousness of Christ to be your all, to be your worthiness in Him alone from that sin. Is that what you're doing? So not only do you see yourself repenting, are you repenting? Turning from sin, turning to Christ, but then what is the measure of your repentance? You take your repentance and you put it against God's Word. What does God's Word say about repentance? And you meditate upon God's Word. What does He say? If you're seeing your sin and you're hating your sin and you're grieving over your sin all, which is good, and yet you keep going back to your sin and turning back to your sin over and over and over, when you measure repentance alongside of God's Word, does it look like that? Or does it look like turning from the sin, turning to Christ, and that's it? We're in Christ. And I hate that sin. I'm never turning to that sin ever again. What does your repentance look like? And what does it look like compared to the Scriptures and what God says about it? And then in what ways have you sought to make your repentance real? To make it long-lasting? So it isn't just, I commit the sin, I turn to Christ, and then the next moment I'm turning right back to the sin. Because that's not really repentance, that's confessing our sin and turning right back to the sin. What are you doing to put to death that sin? Are you doing anything at all? And if you are, how does that measure up according to God's Word in what you're doing? The sin is tempting you to take part in it. What did you do? Did you run from the sin? Did you desperately turn to the Scriptures to meditate upon the Word of God day and night because you hate that sin and you keep meditating and looking for what God calls for you to do and looking and examining yourself according to that standard of God's Word? And did you plead to the Lord in prayer, Lord, please don't let me go back into that sin? Because I hate that sin. And yet that sin is trying to cling on to me. And I want to be done with it. Please help. Are you doing that? And He would keep you from more temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Are you praying that if it be His will, that you would not be brought into more temptation? That Christ's righteousness is truly good and that's all I need, and you're focused on that and you try to keep focusing on that while the sin is trying to cling on to you. Remembering that righteousness is what fully satisfies, and the sin is just a false, it's a lie trying to convince you that it satisfies when it doesn't. That all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is of the world. And I want only what is from my Father. Do you see that more and more? You see, maybe you're convicted by, you're not doing any of that, but you want to do that. Do you see it more and more, or is there just a confession of sin and right back to those sins continually? And you hate that about yourself. Or you don't hate that about yourself. That you keep doing that. And so I'm asking the question, am I truly seeking to avoid sin and hate sin and turn from sin to Christ? As we come and prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, this gives an opportunity to examine ourselves concerning our repentance. And so then, if our repentance, as we see the Catechism, the Scripture, the Catechism, of course, is what we believe to be a summary of what Scripture says. If our repentance, as we see in the Catechism and the Scriptures, require, what is our repentance? What if our repentance doesn't measure up to the Scriptures? Then we need to repent of that. We need to repent of our bad repentance. We need to repent of our lacking in our repentance. And that's what you should do this week if you examine yourself with regard to your repentance. And so we're encouraged this week also to seriously meditate on the doctrine of repentance, to consider our lack of it by the Word, but also with the gospel promises offered and given to us as children in Christ Jesus, to pray fervently that the Lord would bless us with a righteous, repentant life. Pray positively that you would have what God wants us to have and to be. So as we come to the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day evening, preparation is absolutely essential. So as to make the blessing that God wants to bless His people with, that blessing and God's grace unto you all the more effectual, affecting you. It actually happens. And you feel blessed. You know you're blessed as you keep growing in Christ. And He teaches here how to prepare. Verse 28, by examining ourselves. And by examining ourselves, so then come and eat and drink. If you're in Christ yet, we must acknowledge that we're all weak in sin, in our knowledge, in our faith, in our repentance, in our love for God. And this is precisely, again, why we have the Lord's Supper. You're unworthy of yourself. Absolutely. You're unworthy to come, but Christ. It's always that word in Scripture, the two words in Scripture that kind of knock us on our butts and make us sit in awe, but God, but Christ. Christ is worthy. If we are in union with Him, then we are worthy in Him. And so come and rest wholly on the worth and worthiness of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to come to the Lord's Supper. The only righteous way. But if you're not in Christ, if you don't trust in Christ for your life, if you've not embraced Him, if you've not clung to Him, if you don't see your sin, if you don't see how you don't see any faith, or it's very weak faith, and yet you don't care about your sin. You say to yourself, okay, I believe in Jesus, but I love my sin. And there's never a point where you hate your sin. There's never a point where you grieve over your sin. You have no or little knowledge of God, and you care not to know Him more. Your faith is in the world, the things of the world. It's not in Christ. That faith isn't producing good works. It's not producing fruit, as we're told saving faith does, or justifying faith does. Your repentance is non-existent, or it appears as mere confession. Father, I confess my sin before You. I'm sorry. And you go right back to the sin. There's never a looking to Christ from your sin. If there's no evidence of any of those things, then you're not worthy to partake of the supper. It shows that you're not in Christ. It shows that you are not His. So you're in danger. If you do come, you're in danger of eating and drinking judgment upon yourselves. And you will eat and drink judgment upon yourselves. You will eternally die unless you come to Christ. And so those who do not have a new heart, who are not in Christ Jesus, must not come, must not partake. But those who have come, and those who have embraced Jesus Christ for their life, that while you are called to prepare, this is not meant to discourage you from coming to the Lord's Supper and coming and partaking in it. Because again, the purpose of examining yourself and then thereby partaking is so that through it you would be blessed all the more. If you spent this week, not in every waking moment of it, but as you spend this week with yourself and your family and you're contemplating, you're examining yourselves, what is going to happen when you come to partake of the Lord's Supper is you're going to see Christ as so much more glorious and awesome and gracious for who He truly is. And so if you've made profession of faith and you've met with the elders and been approved to partake upon your examination, you may then also begin to question whether you're in Christ. You may begin to question your salvation upon examination because you see the sin and how wretched you are. Oh, wretched man that I am, right? Paul says. All right? You see that. And you begin to question your sins and your wants as you look upon those, and you question your knowledge, you question your faith, you question your love, you question your repentance. If that's you, and you're saying, I don't know if I'm a Christian, even though you've come up and you've professed faith before the body of Christ, if that's you, then we would encourage you to immediately contact the elders, and we will come and help you and meet with you to help you discern, to be the iron sharpening iron, the body together, working together, to help examine and see if you are in Christ. We said it many times. Wouldn't it be just like Satan to tempt and deceive you, to cloud your mind so that you question your salvation of whether you're in the faith or not? And he is a lion seeking someone to devour. And so come to your elders and meet. And we will meet with you to help you discern. But if you find yourself truly not in Christ, your faith being not in Him and Him alone for your salvation from your sin and that the source of all true knowledge, then you must not come to the table of the Lord. You must not come. If you're any questioning whether you're in the faith or not, then you ought to come to Christ now. You ought to put your faith in Him and trust Him for your life and grasp hold of Him, bow to Him, the knee, your knee. For He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He is your Savior. Many have professed faith in Christ before the church. Many of you have professed faith in Christ, and that should encourage you in your examination, in the result of your examination. But it is not a seal. It is not foolproof. It is not a guarantee that you are in Christ. There are many sinners who have deceived many elders and made public profession of faith before the church. And so again, you're called to go out this week. And you're called to examine yourself and examine whether you're in the faith, whether you're in Christ, whether you love, whether you have repentance, whether you have knowledge and of the truth. Lest coming unprepared and unworthily, you bring the possibility of judgment upon yourself. So go and prepare and then come next Lord's Day evening having examined yourself whether you're in the faith, knowing you're in the faith. That you see fruits of the love, you see fruits of repentance and knowledge that in yourself you see, I am unworthy. I am in sin. I have sins and wants, but Christ has all covered all of those. He's covered all of those. And He's your worth. Christ is your worth, and in that way, then you come so boldly to His throne. And you come so boldly to His table and partake with no question. With that encouragement, and be blessed richly by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through, again, the presentation and the proclamation of the gospel to our hearts again. Let's pray. Father, we plead that You would help us who are often hard-hearted, weak, lacking in faith, lacking in love, lacking in repentance, lacking in putting to death sin, lacking in Your commands, completely unworthy of ourselves and in ourselves. Help us to prepare and examine ourselves this week, and we might come boldly. And having examined ourselves, come knowing that we will be blessed richly by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit as Your grace and Your mercy is poured out upon us even in the sacrament. We pray that You would grow us in faith and strengthen us together as we commune together as a congregation of Your church. Help us to find our worth in Christ alone and be satisfied in Him alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.